Good morning.
Morning.
Our reading today is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Perhaps I should say, happy birthday. Yeah, because Pentecost, which is today, is the birthday of the church. Now, 2,000 years ago, what Jeremy just read took place in Jerusalem. God had promised something great was coming. And on the day of Pentecost, it came. But when we think about Pentecost, we think about this day. It doesn't just happen on that one day 2,000 years ago. It happened, or what was called Shavuot in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of First Fruits, is something that's been in the Bible from nearly the very beginning. Rabbinic teachers believe that when Abraham received the covenant, it was during this time. Isaac renewed the covenant during this time. Pentecost happened during the wheat harvest, or the barley harvest, and was commanded to be celebrated in Exodus chapter 34, 22, Deuteronomy 16, 10, Numbers 28, 26, as well as others. Besides the time to feast, it was a time to give a free will offering to God. A time to remember that we were in covenant, or they were in covenant, with God. If you count the days from the first Passover, when God passed over the land of Egypt, 50 days later, the children of Israel stood at the mountain. They looked up and they heard the sound of a mighty wind. They saw fire upon the mountain. Didn't we read something about that just a minute ago? And all of a sudden they heard in their own language the voice of God giving the commandments. God was initiating this new this covenant with them. And Pentecost is a celebration of God's covenant with man. The story of Ruth is often read by Jews during this season. The reason is Ruth, the story of Ruth happened during the barley harvest. And it was a reminder to the people of Israel that God was trying to reach out not just to the Jews, but also to the nations of the world to bring them into covenant with himself. And again, this was that reminder that God is setting up this covenant. A covenant to not just the Jews, but to all nations. Jewish rabbis teach that God put a law in the heart of man at the very beginning of time. But the problem is, man had been trying to keep it with his own strength and failed. So God gave the Ten Commandments, which was, we didn't have to wonder or follow our own hearts and think, okay, I could get it. Because how many of you know that sometimes people will justify what they want? I'm being good. You just stole somebody's wife. How is this being good? Well, because I'm making her feel good. I'm helping out my family. Yeah, but you ripped off everybody else. So God came along and said, these are the rules. Maybe this should help you. Also, God is letting us know that within our own strength, we weren't going to be able to do it. With our own strength without the law, man failed. In our own strength with the law, guess what? Man failed. Something was wrong. A lot of times, human beings, we think, I can do it. And God's up there saying, no, you can't. You need something more. The Torah, the law, gave us, as it were, an ability with God's help to try to do what was right. And through the law, we see men like Moses, Joshua, David, when he wasn't messing up, Josiah and the prophets living lives that what we might call holy, but overall people failed. Most everyone we see lived what we see Paul talking about in Romans chapter 7, which he says, I see what I should be doing. I know what I should be doing, but I'm over here doing this other stuff. And I hate the fact that I'm doing this other stuff. Because I know I ought to be doing this, but I end up doing that. And when I don't want to do this, and I want to do that, I ended up doing... By the way, if you ever read Romans chapter 7 more than once, you know that's exactly how it goes. And that's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? We try to do it in our own strength, and we keep failing. We needed something more. So God, through Moses and the prophets, promised there was something coming through the Messiah, something better. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 27 says, I will sprinkle water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from your idols. But then he says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep all my law. In Joel chapter 2, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, promised that this great thing was coming. Jesus was killed at Passover. He spent 3 days in the grave and then spent 40 days with his disciples afterwards. Now, I know some people, they do the math a little differently. The Roman Catholics actually count the 3 days of Jesus' death as part of the 40 days. But whichever way you look at it, the scripture says that Jesus spent 40 days preparing his disciples. 40 days is kind of an interesting number. We see it often mentioned in the Bible. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. The significance, this idea, gives an idea of completion. The idea of 40 often means a marks of intentional, prolonged, and a fixed period of time, which God does something significant in the hearts and the minds of his followers, preparing them for something that's coming. And after that 40 days, when Jesus went into heaven, he told his disciples, go in Jerusalem and wait. They'd just seen Jesus go raised from the dead. I think they'd be pretty excited. And Jesus says, I need you to go cool your heels. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. Well, they were smarter than some of us because they thought, you know what, while we're waiting, we probably ought to pray. So they did. They prayed. And they sought God's face. And whether you follow the Catholic tradition that says they waited 10 days or the Protestant position that says they waited 7 days, they waited. They waited. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I like that. It fully came. It wasn't just partly. It came in its fullness. What Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and the ends of the earth. When we think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or sanctification is also called in Wesleyan circles, or the day of Pentecost, for a lot of people, what they're thinking, especially if you grew up in the Nazarene church, you're thinking of a bunch of little ladies going, woo, 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 woo. You're not going to get me on this all the way through. Woo, woo, woo. Or you just think of people going, woo. I got to watch it. I'm going to lose my voice. And you know what? There is something exciting that can happen when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives. And I don't dismiss that. A lot of people want to focus on the fact that they spoke in tongues, which they did, the tongues that people understood. But the reason for that is because God was saying, I am once again. Oh yeah, we need to get excited, buddy. You got that. Because this is a good thing. It's a good thing. We can be excited. Because God gave each person, they spoke in tongues that they didn't know, because God was once again speaking in the language of the people, letting them know, I'm trying to reach you where you're at. And telling the Jewish people, some of them that were more stuck on themselves, I'm trying to reach everyone, just not the people, just not just the ones you like. I'm trying to reach everyone. But ultimately, the power of the Holy Spirit was for us to be witnesses. A witness is not somebody who just says something in word, but the witness that we're speaking of here is someone whose life demonstrates Jesus' power and Jesus' commands and Jesus' way of living. If you're going to give a testimony, you need to have it backed up. If I get up here and say, yep, I have been traveling around the world doing marathons every other week. You can tell by my physique, right? I could tell you how are you going to believe me and think you should take running advice from me? Nobody. Okay, good. But if all of a sudden you see something in me that's more, and my words match my deeds, then all of a sudden my testimony matches up. And that's what Jesus wanted. He wanted us to give us the power, not just to speak the Word of God, but to live the Word of God. He wanted to come in and do a work where our heart would be transformed. And if we're in relationship with Jesus, our heart is going to be transformed. He's going to do that work. But I believe that in our lives, we can choose to say, I want you to walk or live in me. I want to walk as the Spirit would call me to walk. God, I don't want you to force me and drag me along slowly into what you want, into your holiness. I want to pursue it. I want to chase after it. I want your Spirit to fill me, to baptize me completely, so I can walk in your power and in your Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul starts talking about the fact when we walk in the Spirit, guess what? All of a sudden, we can overcome those problems. When we're walking in the Spirit and the Spirit rules and reigns in our lives, all of a sudden, we can do those things that we couldn't do before as far as obeying the Word of the Lord, as far as having compassion, as far as having that changed heart where all of a sudden now, instead of seeing somebody we despise, we see somebody that we may disagree with and we may know that they're doing wrong, but we can still love them in Christ. All of a sudden, instead of having a struggle to forgive, love flows. Because we allow God to change our hearts. Because we're turning ourselves completely over to Him. And just saying, God, I hope it grows. We're partnering with Him. And as Paul would say, we're crucifying this flesh, those sinful desires, and we're seeking to let the Spirit reign in us. And when we do that, we seek that, mighty things can happen. Sometimes that power does reveal in our lives and we feel excitement. We do feel the woo! But sometimes the power of God comes over us and it can just give us the power to rest, to let go, to say, I know I can't fix this. And I know it's not my job to fix this. I don't know about you, but I think I can fix about anybody if they just listen to me long enough. How many of you know that's... Don't raise your hands. That's foolish. But when I let myself, give myself fully to the Spirit, I know I don't have to. I can rest in Him. And sometimes the greatest work of the Spirit is that ability to say, okay, I trust you. The day of Pentecost is a day to remind us that we have, through Christ, the power of the Spirit to overcome the sin that wants to crush our lives. We are no longer, as Paul says, slaves to sin. We have the power to overcome it. I remember years ago hearing an illustration by Dave Ramsey. Of course, if you ever listen to Dave Ramsey talks about finances. Do this and things will be better. And a lot of this stuff's really good. Life sometimes can throw a monkey wrench in your things, but a lot of his principles are really good. And one of the things he'll tell you some is to have a $1,000 emergency fund because things happen. How many of those things happen? Yeah. This person had come, they were saying, you know, I can't believe my truck broke down. It's going to cost me $500. And it's just, and Dave asked the person, he said, do you have an emergency fund? The person said, yeah. All of a sudden, they were okay. They had peace because why? They knew they were covered. In the past, they didn't have any extra money back, so they knew they weren't covered. So they panicked when something happened. Now all of a sudden, they had that reserve of money to take care of the problem. Guess what? We have the reserve power of the Holy Spirit within us to overcome whatever may come our way. It may look overwhelming. It may look scary. And let me tell you something. Some things that happen out there are scary. But our foe is defeated. The sin that wants to conquer us has been defeated. We are not slaves to it anymore. It is not our master. Jesus came in and set us free. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live the life He wants us to live. We can have peace when everything looks crazy. Yes, Satan can come along and he's a defeated foe and he may throw a punch. And guess what? I figured this out. Even if the guy you're fighting, you know you're going to win. If he lands a punch, it still hurts. So there are going to be things in our lives that it's going to hurt. And I don't want to deny that. You see your family go through pain and suffering. You see somebody you love not living as they're supposed to live. It breaks your heart. But when we look to Jesus and we walk in the Spirit, we can get that peace knowing that we're going to be okay. When temptation comes and says, you're going to do this, come on. All of a sudden we can take the power of the Spirit and walk in the power of the Spirit and says, no, I don't have to do that. I can live a better way. I can live the life that Jesus gave us on the day of Pentecost. We can live in the power of the Spirit, which will transform our lives and give us the ability to conquer those things that would destroy us. But we have to choose, are we going to walk in that or not? If we choose to walk in the power of the Spirit, God says our life will be filled with its fruit. We'll have love and joy and peace. I don't know about you, sometimes I really appreciate God's peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against these things there is no law, in Galatians chapter 5. That is the fruit that will come from our lives when we're walking that path of the Spirit. We're letting it rule in our lives. This is the new covenant that Jesus gave us. The promise that he would remove those things in us that are bad and put in us a new heart. It is the fulfillment of God's promise, or the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise in Ezekiel chapter 11, starting in verse number 18, where it says, they will remove all detestable things and all abominations, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove their hearts of stone and give them a heart of flesh, so they may follow my statutes, keep my ordinance, and practice them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Allowing God's Spirit to overwhelm, come into our lives doesn't promise that things will be easy. Yes, the scripture says that that Satan's defeated, that sin is defeated. But let me tell you something, they're still fighting. And there's still pain. Not too long after D-Day, it was assured that the Allies were going to win. But if you got shot after that point, guess what? You were still shot. If you died or lost a loved one on the day after they knew victory was assured, guess what? You still lost that person. We live in a world where the victory is assured. But Jesus hasn't come to bring back the final peace. So there's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be pain. But God gives us that spirit so we can overcome the world. That those things that hit us don't have to keep us down. But what about those who God doesn't want to change? Those who refuse to allow Jesus to change their hearts. Ezekiel continues, but for those whose hearts pursue detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads, their own heads, declares the Lord. If we refuse to follow the Spirit, refuse to follow God, it's going to come back on us. But I want to look at that today. I want to look at the fact that we have power through the Holy Spirit to live a life that is better. We have a power through the Holy Spirit when we submit ourselves to Him and say, God, fill me. Fill me completely. If we are a Christian, you have the Spirit within you. But unfortunately, sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit sort of like a backseat driver. We stick him in the back, rather put him at the wheel. But let me tell you something. The race we're in, we need the best driver up front. And guess what? That's not us. Another week, we're going to have Memorial Day, and there's something going on in Indy. I don't know what it is. Some people running around in circles, not running around, driving around in circles. How many of you think that it would be a good idea for me to take over the wheel of one of those cars? No way. Why? Because I'm definitely not qualified. I don't have the power, the experience to know how to run those things. I do good at the speed limit. Over that, no, we're not doing this. I won't get one of them guys to drive. Why? Because they have the power, the experience. They know what they're doing. When it comes to my life, I want to let the Holy Spirit be the driver. I want the Holy Spirit to be in control. Oh, I want to be in the car. I want to see where He's going to take me, because it's amazing sometimes what God will do. And when hard times come and we hit the bumps in the road and it feels like the car is going to fall apart, since I know the Holy Spirit's driving, He's going to get us through. The question we have to think about today on this day of Pentecost is, are we going to live into that life? Are we going to live into the life where we say, God, I surrender it all. I want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. And it's not just a one-time event where you come forward and you say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit and do it all according to your will. This is a daily choice. It's a daily choice. But sometimes there's a time in our lives when we need to say, I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to live this Christian life in my own strength, in my own power. And I need to give it all to God. I need to submit myself to the power of His Spirit. And sometimes we need to pray either at home or at an altar or at the church and say, I need to surrender all of it. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me completely and be in control. And if you feel you need to pray that today, I'm going to ask you to come forward. We're going to pray with you. For I think many of you probably have asked God to do this. So my challenge for you is to continue to submit your life to Him. Tomorrow morning when you get up, you can pray that prayer, Lord, I've not sinned, I've not had an evil thought, but I'm getting out of bed in a minute. And I need you to be in control. Because the one thing I can guarantee is the enemy hasn't quit fighting. Those bad habits, those things you've learned in the pre-Christ times are still going to be there to try to pop up. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to beat it. Does anybody want to pray this morning? Dear Father, I ask right now that You fill us overflowing. Baptize us completely in Your Spirit so that, Father, we live the life You have called us to live. That we're not have the struggles that we've had in the past, but we're relying on the Spirit to lead and guide us and letting Him be in full control. Let us live that life, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing together this morning. As we get ready to leave this place today, if you wish to leave a love offering for Delina, there'll be a plate back here to put money in if you like. But Lord, I ask right now that you be with each one here today. Let them walk as you would have them walk in your spirit and being guided by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with God.